Number 10. Daniel chapter number 10, if you would please. Daniel chapter number 10. Verses that we've used in various ways, most of the time just in looking at it in salvation, but God just got to looking at this and couldn't get away from it. And I want to share something with you out of Daniel chapter 10. Keep your Bibles open in the book of Daniel. We'll look at some other verses here in a few moments, but let's stand as we read verse number 10 and 11. And behold, an hand touched me and set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. I call your attention, please, to verse number 11. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. A man greatly beloved. I'm interested in that statement. A man greatly beloved. And why would this, and I believe to be an appearance of the Lord Jesus, why this would be said of Daniel, a man greatly beloved. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege that we have tonight to stand here, open the word of God, and try to share from it. And Father, I thank you for every song's been sung and every prayer been prayed. But Lord, comes now time for preaching. And we pray in Jesus' name, you'd help us. We'll praise you. And I realize, Lord, tonight that without you, we can do nothing. And we need your help. We need that divine touch, that unction from on high. I pray, illuminate my mind, help me to think. And I pray, be able to say what I need to say. And speak to our hearts, challenge us together. And I pray you speak to every individual in this house, individual needs and individual lives. And Lord, I pray you'd help them and strengthen them and encourage them. And I pray, God, you'd help every person here. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, as we look at that thought and think about that phrase, greatly beloved, and a man greatly beloved, why would that be said of him? And by the way, that was spoken by the Lord. It wasn't spoken by Daniel's friends. It wasn't said by Daniel about himself. It was said by the Lord. And a heavenly being, which I believe to be the Lord Jesus Christ, there's some debate, Bible scholars, about that. But that be as it may, it certainly seems to be in conjunction as you read the rest of the scripture with the Lord Jesus Christ. And thinking about this and seeing this, and Daniel now, and talking about this and called him a man greatly beloved. I want to give you three things tonight I want you to latch on to and God spoke to my heart about. I pray he'll speak to your heart tonight and that all of us will find some help in these verses of scripture. First of all, I want you to look in verse number 9 and the very last phrase of that verse. Then was I in a deep sleep on my face and my face toward the ground. My face toward the ground. Here we find Daniel upon his face. And this is important for us to understand this. Look back in verse number 5 and verse number 6. Look what it says. Then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, his face as an appearance of lightning, his eyes as lamps of fire. His arms and his feet like as colored to polished brass. The voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. Does that remind you of anything? Did you read Revelation chapter 1? Does that remind you of what John the Revelator saw there? It certainly does me. I believe the same one there in Revelation 1 is here in Daniel chapter 10. He's appearing to Daniel and makes his appearance to him, and Daniel sees him. And I want you to see something else about this in verse number 7. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them. So they fled to hide themselves. Therefore, I was left alone. I want you to know it's a time that Daniel was alone. Everybody else forsook. They didn't know what was going on. And if you ever get alone with God, you'll know what I'm talking about. Everybody else has to be put aside and forgot about it for a season, for a time, whatever time that is, that you're alone with God. And we need that time alone with God. You'll never be on your face before God until you're alone with God. Amen. I know we prayed around the altar, and the altar prayer is good. It's good to pray publicly. We need to. We ought to. The Bible teaches us to do that. And we need to pray together as families. We need to pray together and join the two together and pray. God says for us to unite together in prayer. That's good. But there's nothing like getting alone with God in prayer. And here he said he was alone. And I never had noticed that before and read it many times. You have too. But these others hid themselves. They fled. Ain't not a whole lot of people that want to be alone with God. They have everything else to do and like to be with other people and like to be doing other things, but not if I will I like to be alone with God. But when he got alone with God, and I want you to see this because here's what touched me. When he got alone with God and Jesus appeared to him, it was then that he fell on his face. And I got to think about that in Scripture. I mentioned Revelation chapter 1 where John did. But I thought about Joshua over there around Jericho and the appearance of Jesus came there, the captain of the Lord's host. And what Joshua did, he fell to his face. He fell to, hey, if you ever get your eyes really set on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be falling on your face and you'll be seeing him. And I found over there that Peter, one time when Jesus was calming the sea in the storm, and Peter came to Jesus and fell down at his feet and said, I'm a sinful man. Asked him to depart from him. Said, I'm a sinful man. I mean, he fell to his face before him when he realized that he was God and got a glimpse of him. And I say, hallelujah, on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus was transfigured there before those disciples, and the Bible said they fell like dead men, and he had to come and touch them before they could ever get up. They fell on their face. Why? They saw his glory. I'm glad once in a while God lets us get a little glimpse of his glory. I don't mean I've ever seen Jesus personally, but I can tell you right now, he let me once in a while get in the glory room, get in the holies of holies, and get a glimpse of him that is altogether lovely. If I ever do, I'm always on my face, amen, before him. You have to be. You can't help yourself. It's on your face or else, amen. I'm glad. Praise God for the reality of being on your face before God. You remember in Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah says, saw the Lord high and holy lifted up, his train filled the temple, and the serpent was crying, holy, holy, holy. You know what he did? Woe is me. Woe is me. And I believe why he's saying woe is me, he's falling on his face before God. I'm trying to tell you tonight, it's good to get alone with God. It's good to have some time alone with God and see him and get our eyes set on him. And you read this description of him and how he looked and clothed in linen and his eyes as flames of fire. He can see right through you. He can see right through me. And I'm going to show you some things here in a minute. I can tell you right now, when you get before him, there's some things show up. And they will show up on us. And we need to understand that. I want you to look now in verse 7 and 8. Well, look at verse 8. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Now that no strength I'll come to in just a moment, but let's talk about that right in the middle of it. He talks about no strength, and he lost his strength, then said it twice. But right in the middle of that, he said, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption. That word comeliness, and looking it up, and the comeliness is always spoken of in a good way. It means honorable. It means something that is worthy of some kind of notice. And it's never in a bad sense is it talked about. And he said, my comeliness was turned into me in, like unto corruption. What he was saying was, when I got alone with him and I really saw Jesus and got alone with him, What I thought was good about me, I found out wasn't good at all. It looked like corruption to me. Amen. I thought about that scripture saying, our righteousness are as filthy rags in the sight of a holy God. Hey, what you think is good, what I think is good in our lives in the sight of a holy God is nothing but stinking rags. Hey, if we ever really get along with him, we'll see ourselves like we really are in corruption. Amen. And we need to understand that. Paul said, the great preacher, Apostle Paul, that man that went across the world, as it were, preaching the word of God, and God used him. He said, he's no good thing in my flesh. And then he went on and said later, I'm the chiefest of sinners. And the closer he seemed like he got to God, the more he saw himself a sinner. And I believe that the more we get with God, the more we see our own sin, the more we see our own helplessness, and the more we see ourselves like we really are. And so he saw that. And Paul cried out to that. I remember reading a story about in England years ago, a man was teaching a Bible class of young men. And he said, your mom, talking about mom now, he said, your mom's wash out on the line, those white things, sheets and whatever's white, looks good until it snows. And then they don't look so white anymore. Hey, man, you ever notice how white a snow is when it falls? And God talks about making our sin like snow. Hey, man, I'm glad, praise God, these are cleansing power. But he compared that to how they used to hang clothes outside and be hanging out there. White clothes look good and white until it snowed. And then the snow showed them up that they weren't as white as you thought they were. Hey, when you get in the presence of the living Christ, we're not as clean as we think we are. We're not as good as we think we are. And we have no righteousness of our own. And we really get what we need to get when we get there. But we don't take time to get alone with God and see him and look unto him and see his holiness and recognize that he is holy, by the way. He is not your bellhop. He's not your somebody you call on. Well, I need this, I need that, I need the other. And some people, the only time they ever think about Jesus is when they need something. And then they call on him and ask him for it, and that's about it. But what we need to do is get along with God, ask God to reveal himself to us in a real sense, and he does. And through his word and by the Holy Spirit power, he lets us get a glimpse of glory. And we get in a sense that you ever been to present, if you ever prayed much, you have. And if you haven't, you need to get there. You ever been praying, getting in a sense of the real holiness of God? I mean, getting a sense that his presence is real. You can almost reach out and touch him. You ever been there where that his presence was so real to you that you knew? People used to talk about praying through. What they meant was, I got in his presence. I got in his presence. I'm not so sure it's such a bad term anyway. And we get in his presence. And most of the time we're in too big a hurry to get in his presence. But getting in his presence, I've been thinking about this last few days, of getting in his presence. And I was thinking this morning, before we ever went in that funeral service, Lord, I asked God to help me get in his presence and get with him. Dear woman that loved God, we're getting ready to have a funeral. We're getting ready to go in and try to help a family and try to help people there that does not know God. We need God. I was thinking before I got in the pulpit tonight, Lord, I'm going to try to preach this, but I need your presence. I bowed back in my office, and I bowed long before that too today, but I said, God, I need your presence. I need that glimpse of holiness. And I want you to know tonight, thank God, I'm getting me a little glimpse right now. And I don't know what you're seeing, don't know what you're getting, I don't know where you are, I don't know anything about that, but I know what God's doing in my heart. And I say hallelujah. I see him, I see me. And when I see me, I don't see anything but filth, but I'm glad, thank God, all I see in him is holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty, holy, holy, holy. And he's worthy of all of our praise and all our glory that we shall ever give him. He's worthy, worthy, worthy. I see him tonight. And since that presence of the living God, we come to the house of God. And I said about that funeral, never had made a statement like that in a funeral service before. But I got to thinking about it. What do we want to accomplish in a funeral? I said, number one, we want to worship God. I believe that ought to be the main thing every time we come to the house of God is to worship God. I want you to get some help. I want you to get something to help you. but I want to worship God and come in and just worship Him. I pray for His glory gets so real around here and we just get so much in His presence and power and things begin to happen. Amen. And praise God it does if we'll get along with God and spend some time alone with Him. Somebody made a statement one time and said, for every tree that's growing up, there's a tree growing down. There's roots going down if there's a tree coming up. Amen. And if there's ever any power around the church, and that's for the preacher, and that's for the Christian, there'll have to be some time alone with God, or else there'll be no real power or glory of God shown. Amen. And be no stronger than what that prayer life is, alone with God. And I said, I'm going to show you something else. Now look in verse number 8 again. There remaineth no strength in me. I retain no strength. He said, I saw myself dirty. I saw myself like I really am. And I come to say I didn't have any more, anything about me is any good. And then I didn't have any strength. Do you remember what Jesus said in John 15:5? Without me, ye can do nothing. He didn't say he can do some things. He didn't say he might be able to do a little bit. He said, without me, you can do nothing. I want you to know I tonight and you tonight, we cannot do anything in our own power, in our own self. We make a mess out of everything. Amen. And we can't do it in ourselves. But oh, Jesus is looking for a vessel he can fill and a vessel he can use for his glory and for his honor. But he said, I don't have any strength. My strength's all gone. It's left me and I don't have any. I say to you how much we need to recognize what Zechariah chapter 4, verse number 6 says. It says, but it's not in power, nor might, but in the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's not in might and power. It's not what man can do. No power we have, no might we have. It's all in the Spirit of God, but by the Spirit of God. I say tonight, let's let the Spirit of God have His way. Do what He wants to do. Let Him control us. Let Him fill us. Let Him use us. And thank God for the precious Holy Spirit of God. And we can stand in that power. Now, that strength we need. Now, I want to still show you Daniel on his knees. That's just number one. We're on our face. We're on our face. We see Him. We see ourselves. And recognize nothing good about us. We have no strength. But then he prays. He's on his knees. Verse number 10. And behold, an hand touched me. And there's a message in that in itself, but I say hallelujah. I'm glad for that touch. That's something you can't explain. A hand touched me and set me upon my knees, upon the palms of my hands. Now I want you to notice, well, let me give you a verse, two verses, and then we'll come back to that. I want you to look back in Daniel chapter 6, and verse number 9 and 10. Chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, you remember how the enemies of Daniel couldn't find any fault with him? They tried every way they could, but they couldn't. The only time they could find anything they could ever get him on was his prayer life, his religious life, how he lived for God. And so they had the king to sign a decree that nobody would ask anything of anybody, any god or anybody, except the king for 30 days. So that was signed. Now, Daniel knew that the writing was signed, verse number 10 of chapter 6. And he went into his house, his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Now, I want you to get this. He didn't wait to make a show of it after the king signed the decree. He just did what he'd always been doing. He didn't try to make a show about that. Sometimes folks try to make a show about something if they think it's going to come out and look good in everybody's eyes. That wasn't how Daniel doing. He just prayed because he'd been used to praying. As his time to pray. He did what he'd always been doing. He didn't make a difference what the king signed or didn't sign. God came first, and so he opened his window toward Jerusalem and prayed 3 times a day. But he's on his hands and on his knees. Now remember what we've already said. He's on his face. Brother Mark, I want you to come up here a minute, please. You're a young man. We'll get down, but I might have trouble getting up. I want you to get on your knees and on the palms of your hands, just like that. Now, a man on his knees and on the palm of his hands is not holding on to anything. He's on the palms. Palm of your hand, you don't hold. If you're holding something, you got it like that. But when you're on your palms of your hands and on your knees, that's where God wants you to pray. You're not holding on. Well, I think maybe we can do this. I think maybe God, you ought to do the other. We're not holding on to anything. Well, somebody said this and somebody said that. We're not holding on to that. Well, the other places they're doing this and doing that. We're not holding on to that. Well, I think maybe we're not holding on to anything. We're just on the palms of our hands and on our knees before God. You can get up and go back. Thank you. Pray while you're there. Amen. And that's how we pray, on the palms of our hand, on our knees. We pray to God. I want to show you some paradoxes. But let me say this. All battles are won on our knees. You don't win them any other way. They're won on the knees before you ever go out into battle. Won on your knees. And there's some paradoxes given to us. And I want to show you these, if you would please. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. I'll show you what Paul said about this. Here we are, and we're living our lives. We're praying to God, and palms of our hands and our knees, asking God to help us. And look what it says in verse number 9 of chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians. As unknown and yet well known. He's saying this, I believe. The world may not know much about us, but God knows us well. As dying, and behold, we live. As chastened and not killed. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. I love that. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, and yet possessing all things. Hallelujah. I'd like to preach on the paradoxes right there for a while. I say praise God for the reality and truth of God's word. And all that becomes real to us on our knees as we pray to God. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And the weapons are warfare. They're not of flesh. Our weapons of God. And we don't have of Christ. We don't have any weapon ourselves. It's all spiritual. And you can't fight a spiritual warfare with physical weapons. You have to have spiritual armor, spiritual weapons. I'm glad for the word of God, which is a sword. I'm glad for the shield of faith. I'm glad for all that. Amen. And I'm saying to you tonight, though, as we get on our face before God, we're alone with God, alone with Jesus, see ourselves, see him, and then we pray and not hold on to anything, just get on our knees and pray to God. First he sees the Lord, and then he sees the need to pray and talk to God, ask for God's help and make his petition unto God. But notice the third thing, he's a standing. He's on his face, he's on his hands and his knees, he's praying. But then he stands. Look at verse number 11. And said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. Why was he greatly beloved? I'll tell you, because he started a long time ago. Back in the first chapter of Daniel, he refused to eat the king's meat. He asked not to be made to do that. And God honored him. You be faithful to God in the small things, God will help you in the large things. But if you fail God in the small things, you'll never make it to the big things anyway. Amen. It's being faithful to God in small. But here he is. And notice what it says in verse 10 and verse 11. And said unto me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for in thee am I now sin. And when he had spoken his word unto me, I stood trembling. First of all, I want you to notice he obeyed. As soon as he got a glimpse of it, got in the glory, had saw Jesus, fell on his face, got in the right condition where he saw himself, and then prayed to God on his hands, holding on to nothing, and on his knees before God. Then God said, stand up. He just stood up. He just did what God said to do. He stood trembling now. He knew he had a work to do. He wasn't trembling because he was afraid of God. He wasn't trembling because of that. But he knew he was before an awesome God. And he realized he did not want to disappoint his God and wanted to serve his God faithfully and continue on with his God. He knew that. And any time you do anything for God, we ought to stand trembling before God, but stand boldly before man. Amen. He stood boldly for what was right. It was through three Hebrew children when they was casting that first. Hey, they stood boldly before man. I guarantee you they tremble before God. Hey, if you ever stand before man, you'll tremble before God.
Hey, we're before a holy God, a holy God, a holy. I wonder sometimes in our church services if we really realize who we really serve, where we really are, what we're really doing. Sometimes we get preoccupied with everything else around us, everything else going on, and forget we're in the presence of a holy God and come to his house to worship him and get a glimpse of him and let him have his way and magnify himself. He stood trembling. We need to tremble before a holy God and let God use us in and stand before men to witness for Christ Jesus. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Father, thank you for the precious word of God. Thank you for Daniel, that man of God that you used so greatly and called him the greatly beloved. Greatly beloved. Lord, I ask you in Jesus' name to help us. The enter into that experience that Daniel, Lord, that we may sense that presence of the living God, holy, holy, and see ourselves, that we have no strength our own, and stand trembling before God. Have your way in this invitation. You know what we need to do tonight. It's yours. We commend it to you in Jesus' precious name.